Prime Minister Netanyahu during the Trump years because he had free reign. Every single day, he evicted more Palestinians. He took over more Palestinian land. He let settlers take over places that, in theory, should be part of a future Palestinian state. And so, yes, it's good that other Arab states made peace with Israel, but the Palestinians are a people without a country and without a land, and they are persecuted every single day. We cannot lose sight of that.
Yeah, that's right. That's Marie Harf of the Obama administration, now on Fox News. It's all the fault of the Jews. The poor, innocent Hamas people funded by Iran are victims of the awful Jews. Either that, Marie, or the Palestinians could agree to live side by side in peace with the Israelis, and then they'd live in Israel, and it's the most prosperous, the freest, the most democratic, the most multicultural country in the entire region of the world by a long shot. And that's always an option, you know, but wiping out the Jews is the other option. They choose B, and so does Marie Harf. She was a State Department spokesman for the, spokesmodel for the Obama administration. And now, remarkably, she prattles on with this stuff at the Fox News Channel. Quite remarkable. We are at 888-630-9625. War in Israel. How many killed? At least 35 Israelis now. At least, what do we have, 40-something, 43 Palestinians. They, you know, the Palestinians like to hide behind civilian targets where they're making their rockets to fire at the civilians in Israel. And then when Israel retaliates, they're like, oh, look, you've killed my children. That's because you lashed your children to the bomb-making factory in the hope that they'd be blown up for a photo op. Because, you know, honestly, try loving your children. Crazy idea, I know, absolutely nuts. Boltnick is on Capitol Hill today. Boltnick, you know, he's worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, not because he earned any of it. He just married really well a couple of times. And he's got his handcrafted New Zealand yacht, which he parks next door in Rhode Island to avoid $500,000 in Massachusetts taxes. And he's got the family jet. You know, he's married to the heir of the Heinz Food Foundation, Heinz Ketchup and Heinz Foods. And the widow of former late Senator John Hines, he married the widow of a colleague who happened to have, you know, $1 billion in the bank. No big deal. Private jets flying around in the private jets. And he likes to lecture people on, you know, on making solar panels and things like that. He, in fact, a good headline from January 27th. And John Kerry says fired workers can, quote, go make solar panels. That's what he said. He said they can go make solar panels. Senator Ted Cruz made fun of it at the time. You know, he's the Biden White House climate czar. He's a climate czar. He flies around in his family's private jet all the time because, and you remember he explained that he's got to take airliners, just one person on an airliner run by the Air Force out of Andrews, outside of Washington, D.C., fly to Europe and all over the world because people like him, you know, people like him, you know, the ruling class, they need to get places and you don't. You should sit down and shut up. Maybe you go make solar panels. White House climate czar John Kerry spoke with reporters again January 27th during a daily press briefing, telling that fired energy workers, he said they can, quote, go build solar panels. Yeah, where will that be? Well, now we know. Now we know where. And Ted Cruz made fun of him. And Ted Cruz tweeted, he said, Rich, you're out of touch. Rich, out of touch Dems lecture the thousands of blue-collar union members whose jobs are being deliberately destroyed by the Biden administration to, quote, make better choices. Then he said, and while you're at it, don't forget, let them eat cake. He was Ted Cruz mocking Boltnick, who frightens the children. Now John Kerry's up on Capitol Hill, and he's got a lot to answer for. His feeding information to the Iranians to undermine the Trump administration while peace was breaking out all over the Middle East and while the leading state sponsor of terror on the planet Earth, Iran and the Ayatollahs, was being kept in a box by the Trump administration. John Kerry was allegedly, reportedly, undermining the United States of America through back-channel talks because he fell in love with his awful, horrible deal, the JCPOA. Really, you called it the JCPOA? That's what you named it? Yeah, The Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action? Yeah, which allows Iran to continue spinning centrifuges for making nuclear weapons? Yeah, yeah, and to build their ballistic missile fleet and make it more and more capable? Yeah, yeah, that's all allowed. Yeah, that's good. And we can't inspect their military bases where they're enriching uranium? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the deal we cut. Yeah, okay. Yeah, good plan. Good deal. And you gave them tens of billions of dollars, maybe more than $100 billion, access to more than $100 billion. And they're the world-leading state sponsor of terror. No big deal. So he's up on Capitol Hill today. Democrats really don't have to account for their own actions and their own behavior. But here is Town Hall, townhall.com, because John Kerry's up on Capitol Hill today. And he said that, you know, we fire you, we cancel the pipelines, and you can go make solar panels. Where? I don't know. We'll tell you later. Well, now we know where. Today, John Kerry admits solar panels are being made by the Uyghur slaves in China. It's quite remarkable. Listen to this, because Town Hall has the story, the Washington Post doesn't, and CNN doesn't, because they're not legitimate news organizations. So Town Hall posted the video. Here's John Kerry, and it's Congressman Mike McCaul, who is the ranking member on this committee. The Democrats control all the committees, but he's the lead Republican on the committee. And here is Mike McCaul talking to Boltnick about slave labor making these solar panels that he says American, that jobs that they've destroyed, that they can go off and make solar panels. But when they're being made by slaves in China, they're probably going to be able to beat you in the bidding war, don't you think? Mike McCaul and Boltnick.
You have a very enormous challenge, but very important one in front of you. Secretaries Blinken and Pompeo both said that the CCP is committing genocide against the Uyghur Muslim population. Last
Chinese
month, this
Communist
committee
Party
marked up a bill I introduced along with Chairman Meeks condemning this genocide. You recently said that we're quoted saying we have other differences on human rights, but those should not get in the way of something that is critical as dealing with climate. And I know you can try to compartmentalize it. The problem
slavery.
Is it's intertwined.
What about the weather?
Because when you look at the supply chain, you look at China, they dominate the critical mineral supply and solar supply chains, all coming out of the Xinjiang province, which
Xinjiang.
We believe is using slave labor to create these renewable energy sources. So my question to you is, how can you assure us or ensure that this quest that we're on, that slave labor coming out of China, where genocide is taking place as we speak, mm-hmm. are never a part of the climate solution in the United States?
Not a problem.
You're absolutely correct.
He's got a mask on.
Ranking Member McCaul, it is a problem. Xinjiang province not only produces some of the solar panels.
What does he have a mask
we
on?
Believe are being, in some cases, produced in forced labor by Uyghurs.
Forced labor. Slaves.
But also,
Nikes?
There are a significant amount of rare earth mineral that's used in the solar
rare earth
panels
minerals.
Themselves.
Yeah, and solar panels themselves. Yeah, toxins. That the Chinese are mining these toxins, more than 50 toxins in every solar panel. And, you know, your kids are playing next to them. How dare you? And slaves, yeah, sure. But what about the weather? See, it's a slavery in the 21st century building solar panels that the Biden White House wants to buy and put next to your children. And yeah, but what about the weather? We're concerned about bigger. We got bigger fish to fry. Slavery in 2021, you know, look, we got our solar panels for less. Slavery is good. You know, the Democrats were the party of slavery in 1861, 1865, and before 1861. And they're apparently the party of slavery today. There's John Kerry, very blithely, very casually, the Republican ranking member raising the issue, Congressman McCaul, raising the issue with Boltnick. And Boltnick is like, yeah, yeah, whatever, slavery. You know, come on, that's not the big fish here. We're talking about the weather. And that's it. Solar panels being made by Uyghur slaves in China in what the U.S. government has called genocidal circumstances against the Uyghurs, an ethnic minority and a religious minority, largely Muslims, in western China, over by the stands, you know, over by Uzbekistan and all the stands. And here's John Kerry, very casually, very blithely, with his private jet and his yachts and his mansions and all of that good stuff. Remember when Mitt Romney was running for president and he was campaigning, and he said he was going to head out to his house in San Diego, and the news media dogged him over this, and some snarky, snotty reporter said, "Just how many houses do you have?" And Mitt Romney, without missing a beat, said, "Two fewer than John Kerry." And when he ran for president, that was never an issue. And evading taxes on the yacht and the private jets and the, you know, you can pal around like the Clintons with Jeffrey Epstein and everybody else. Never an issue when you're a Democrat. Slave labor, making solar panels, send more, you know, it just means we're getting a better deal. Send more solar panels from the slaves. And then they turn around and they say, yeah, Black Lives Matter. We're really against slavery when, you know, the Democrats were the slavers in the 19th century, which is some time ago, just by the way.
Frank,
kind of remarkable stuff.
McCall, it is a problem.
Yeah, it's
Zhanjiang province only produces some of the solar panels that we believe are being, in some cases, produced in forced labor by Uyghurs.
Yeah. Forced labor by Uyghurs. Well, so the ethnic minorities being thrown into forced labor camps, and they're slaves. They don't have a choice. They're not leaving, and they've done nothing wrong, and they're forced to make Nike shoes for LeBron James and solar panels for John Kerry. And then they just walk right past it and say, this is no big deal. And I promise you, this will not be a news story tonight. This is not a front page news story. This is not a problem for the Democrats to just blithely whitewash and brush past slave labor in communist China being used to make solar panels, which the Biden White House wants to carpet the United States with. Yeah, it's fine. And by the way, they're filled with toxins, these rare earth minerals, more than 50 toxins in every solar panel. And they don't last very long, solar panels. Then you throw them into landfills, and then the 50 toxins soak into the water table. And then your children have five eyes and three legs and think that Democrats are the right party for America. All right, there are a lot of things to get to. But right now, let's go to Chester, calling from Manassas, Virginia, because he's got some real-time reporting from Manassas having to do with the Biden administration's energy policy. Chester, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Chester.
I was out this morning, and I pulled into a gas station, and as I was pulling in, they were putting up signs, out of gas. Since Monday morning, gas prices have increased 17 cents in town. I passed a station that was selling $3.09 for regular out here. It reminds me of the Carter years when we were going even odd gas and all the disasters with that.
Yep, that's a fact. And you got in there just under the wire and you filled up your tank and your pockets and your Zippo lighter. And you got out of there just in time because the station ran out of gas.
That's absolutely true. And the Colonial Pipeline has a major pumping station and tanks right here in town. So it's ironic that they didn't even get gas out of that close by.
Well, you know, the governor has, Governor Koonman with the Klan uniform, he has declared a state of emergency in the state of Virginia. States of emergency also declared in Florida, in Georgia, and North Carolina. EPA giving emergency waivers to about a dozen states on the East Coast. This is the Democrat Party doing what the Democrat Party does best. This is who they are. In case you missed the 20th century and the left and the Democrats, we're getting a speed course in it. This is like a speed dating course in what the Democrats do every time they have power. Just in case you've missed all of this. Amazing stuff. Thank you for that report from the field, Chester. I appreciate it very much. That's Joe Biden's America. I drive very little. I drive 2,000 miles a year. I told you yesterday I filled my tank on Sunday. I guess I filled it on Sunday. Maybe I mentioned it on Monday. But I filled my tank. And I won't have to fill my tank again for probably 6 weeks because that's true. 2,000 miles a year. My car is more than 5 years old, and I just crossed 11,000 miles on my car. 5 years, 4 months old, and I just crossed 11,000 miles on the odometer. Hey, you know what feels really great? Paying off your high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate, and saving yourself a whole bunch of money. You need to refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans that start at 5.95% APR with auto pay and your excellent credit. That's an awful lot lower than the average credit card interest rate, which is more than 18% APR. There are no fees because you know me, and you can even get your money as soon as the day that you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what Lightstream delivers. Just for my listeners right now, apply, get a special interest rate discount, and save even more of your hard-earned money. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/plant. That's lightstream.com/PLANTE. Subject to your good credit approval, rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.5% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires your excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/plant for more information. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, there it is. It's lefty America. Biden is in charge. AOC is in charge. The green loons are in charge. You know, in Europe, they call them the watermelons because they're green on the outside but red on the inside. And we got a big case of that going on here, that's for sure.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Bam, 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 bam. Here's the headline from Fox News. Battered Biden under siege as crises confound the White House. The left is very angry about this headline. They want the headline pulled because they're kind of fascists, you know, and they don't believe in a free press or any of that. I have a great friend in McLean, Virginia, just sent me a photograph of a gas station in his neighborhood, and there's a big line outside the gas station. The cars, as far as the picture can take in, anyway. Let's go quickly to another phone call. Then I've got audio I need to get to. Let's go to Don, calling from wonderful Chicago, Illinois, where it snowed yesterday, and listening on WLS. Hey, Don.
Hey, Chris, you know, it just dawned on me that the solar panels are now going to have to be the new blood diamonds for Hollywood. So I would imagine all those Malibu homes are having them removed right now.
Just like they had their diamond rings and earrings and bracelets and necklaces removed when they learned about blood diamonds out of Africa, right?
Yeah, it's all principle with them, you know. So, you know, who cares who makes our solar panels, we're doing good things for the earth.
That's right. We're saving the planet from the climate because the, you know, America. Now, and I also read the other day the study that came out, left-wingers out of Great Britain, said that China pollutes more than the United States and all other industrial nations combined. All other, and this is what communists did. The Soviet Union was the worst offender for the longest time. Then they collapsed, thank God. And now the communists in China are the worst polluters on the planet by a long shot, more than the United States and all other industrialized nations combined. And I love, Don, I saw it on the screen here, Victor put up on the screen. Solar panels are the new blood diamonds. And I said, oh, that is smart. That's great. I got to go to Don. Listening on WLS, great point. Boltneck is okay with it, though.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yeah, gas lines, gas stations running out of gas. Are the Russians behind it? The GRU, kind of a spinoff of the KGB. Putin is an old KGB guy. And a Stasi guy, Stasi, the secret police in East Germany. He's a killer. He's a thug. He poisons his enemies, throws them in jail. He gets them shot to death in the lobbies of their buildings in Moscow. He's a thug and a criminal. And remember Barack Obama sucking up to him and Dmitry Medvedev, who held his place for a little while in Russia. And Obama saying, you know, tell. Remember the hot mic moment? Didn't know his mic was hot. How did he not know that? Really dumb. He went to Harvard and he said, tell Vladimir I'll have more flexibility after the election. Remember that? That was a great moment in American history, presidential history, foreign policy history. And Dmitry Medvedev, Vladimir Putin's plaything, his placeholder for a little while, he said, I will transmit this highly sensitive intelligence information to Vladimir. Spasiba, Comrade Barak. Comrade Barak. It was something very much like that. And also, you remember, Michael Piercy and I were just talking. So it was 2012, and gas prices were going through the roof because of Barack Obama. And at the radio station, the radio show, we had a gas deal where we were, like, giving away free gas because gas prices had gone up. And what was the gas price then, Michael? $3.84? Is that what you said? $3.86 for regular, for a gallon of regular. Yeah. Yeah, and my friend in Virginia, in McLean, Virginia, lives very close to the CIA, said a picture of the line at the gas station and sent a picture from Jimmy Carter days with a Volkswagen Beetle in there. Gas shortage, sales limited to 10 gallons of gas per customer, and the alternate day of the week license plate thing. The bad old days. And this is what the left brings about every time. And Jimmy Carter wasn't trying to save the world from climate change. He was just awful at everything that he did. Most embarrassing Naval Academy grad ever. You know, he was trained as a nuclear engineer at the Naval Academy by the U.S. Navy, and he still pronounced it nuclear. What is it? You're a nuclear engineer, and it's unclear to me why you pronounce it nuclear. What is up with that? Jimmy Carter. And now he's become a ventriloquism puppet. Joe Biden in there and Jill, and they had little ventriloquist strings on the back of their little jaws went like this. Jimmy and Rosalind Carter, quite terrible. All right, let's get to the energy stuff because these people are truly awful. Again, Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan closing another pipeline today, shutting, and it comes from Canada, and Canada's furious, and the company out of Canada says they're going to defy her order. And she's saying, well, some of it goes under Lake Michigan, a piece of Lake Michigan, this sort of narrow passage by Mackinac Island, beautiful Mackinac Island. And there could be a leak. Yeah, well, as one of our brilliant callers said, it could be a catastrophic leak. And one of our friends today said, yeah, I could get in my car today and have a catastrophic accident. But this pipeline's been in there since 1953, I think. No problem. And she thinks suddenly it's going to break, so she's going to cancel it because they're not on our side. They're just not on our side. Boy, are they not on our side. All right, we've got good audio to get to here. And the Democrats, pipeline crazy. And this hacking group, Dark Side, and as the GRU, Russian Intelligence Agency, behind it, Vladimir Putin behind it, are being lied to by way of our media with leaks from the Biden administration. It's difficult to say we've been lied to so many times in the last handful of years. This group, Dark Side, has never targeted a company or a government that was part of the Soviet Union or reigns from the former Soviet Union, former East Bloc states. And it's a ransomware. They want cash. Oh, by the way, there is another ransomware gang threatens to release information on Washington, D.C. police records. Police records. There'd be a lot of Democrats in there, I would think. Russian-speaking ransomware syndicate that stole data from Washington, D.C. Police Department says negotiations over payments have broken down and that they will release sensitive information that could put lives at risk if more money is not offered. The extortion threat comes amid a separate ransomware attack on a major pipeline that affected parts of the U.S. fuel supply, highlighting the power of internet-savvy criminal gangs to sow mayhem from half a world away with impunity. And yesterday, Biden was like, we have no reason to believe Russia's behind it. And you got their experts out there saying, well, actually, we've got a little bit of that today. Let's get to the audio now. Jennifer Granholm, amazingly, she's the former, now again, the current governor of Michigan, is threatening, she's saying, today, going to close down that pipeline coming from Canada. And this is just insane. They're going to start a war with Canada, these people. And she is now the Secretary of the Department of Energy, kind of amazingly. I think everything she knows about energy would not fill a thimble, but that's okay. She's political, and she smiles. She has a twinkle in her eye. She's always smiling when she says, oh, kill them all, kill them all. Here is a Q&A with Jennifer Granholm at the White House yesterday, Secretary of Energy, talking about, see, here's the deal. The administration is now talking about moving the oil that comes in around Houston in Texas, Gulf of Mexico. Moving instead of the pipeline, moves as much energy every day as Germany uses in a day, the country of Germany. 43% of the energy supply, oil and gas for the East Coast of the United States. And now they're talking about moving it to trains or even to trucks, which is not the greenest thing in the world, and it leads to more spills and leaks and bad environmental things. And here's Jennifer Granholm, and listen to this carefully, because she admits that the safest way to move oil and gas is through pipelines. And you may remember on day one, the Biden administration killed the Keystone XL pipeline, making it much more dangerous to move the energy supplies. Jennifer Twinkle Toes Granholm.
Can you tell us what is the feasibility of using rail cars to transport fuel into the affected areas? I know that's being looked at.
Yeah, the DOT is looking at that, and so we'll have to wait till their analysis is done.
Transportation.
These are not easy solutions because there may or may not be the right rail cars. There may not or may not be the deep water ports available for the Jones Act to be able to respond. So this particular area of the country, this is why we have doubled down on ensuring that there's an ability to truck oil in, gas in. But the pipe is the best way to go, and so that's why. hopefully
that's what Hunter Biden
company,
knows there, sorry,
Colonial, will in fact be able to restore operations by the end of the week, as they have said.
But wait a minute. So we're going to depend on the company to fix the problem. And I'm going to kick it over to the Department of Transportation. I'm the Department of Energy, and I really take no responsibility for anything. But the pipe, as Hunter Biden says, is the best way to go. So she just admitted that they killed the Keystone XL pipeline, that the current governor, Gretchen Whitmer, in Michigan is threatening to kill another pipeline. The Biden White House has got another pipeline that they're trying to kill. And she just admitted that the pipe is the best way to go. Maybe she's speaking in code. I don't know. Maybe she's talking about other things. Maybe she's on the crack pipe, too, like Hunter Biden. You know, he's an oil and gas man. He's a big oil and gas tycoon in Ukraine. But she just said it right there. Now, here's a question, reporter, about to Jennifer Granholm about renewable. You know, because everybody wants to be off of oil. So kill all the pipelines, man. Q&A.
Looking more holistically in a macro view, how does this speed up the efforts
macro
at DOE to move in more of
DOE
a renewable direction, since this is going to have an impact on people at the pump?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously are all in on making sure that we meet the president's goals of getting to 100% clean electricity by 2035 and net zero carbon emissions by 2050.
Yeah,
and,
net zero.
You know,
I thought it was 9 years from now.
Drive an electric car, this would not be affecting you, clearly. But
that's a lie.
I don't want to. This company is acting in a responsible way. They took their pipeline down so that the ransomware would not spread.
Spread? A Bandcamp girl. She's another Bandcamp girl. So it would not spread. And then she's an up talker. And then this one time at Bandcamp. And Bandcamp is a. And so, wait a minute. So if we all just had Teslas at $100,000 each, then we could plug them into a wall somewhere, I guess, at home, because you really can't find much elsewhere. And then they'd be powered by the coal-burning plant down the road. So really, they're coal-powered cars, which burn dirtier rather than cleaner. But that's okay, because we pretend. There's a lot of pretending going on. Listen to this. Oh, and then, listen to this. Here's a supply and demand issue. This is the Secretary of all places, the Department of Energy. She doesn't understand supply and demand. Listen to this. She has most of them have the brains of children, all right? She was also born in Canada. She's not really even an American. And but listen to this. She says it's not a supply problem so much as listen to Jennifer Granholm.
It's not that we have a gasoline shortage. It's that we have this supply crunch, and that things will be back to normal soon, and that we're asking people not to hoard.
It's not I don't even know how to. It's not a supply crunch. It's just that we don't have enough gas. It's that it's a supply crunch. It's not a shortage. It's just a crunch. She uses the words, but she doesn't know what they mean. Pretty amazing. And then they had this woman who is amazingly the Deputy National Security Advisor for the United States of America. Her name is Ann Neuberger. And Ann Neuberger, she's a Neuberger, all right. She was up there at the White House podium yesterday also and was asked about Colonial, the pipeline company, paying the ransom. And they're like, hey, we wash our hands of it. It's a pretty Pontius Pilate thing. We wash our hands of it. That's up to the company. We really don't involve ourselves in energy supply or national security when we're having acts of war committed against us by other countries.
So first, we recognize that victims of cyber attacks often face a very difficult situation.
So
and they
first,
have to just balance often the cost-benefit when they have no choice with regard to
they
paying
have
ransom.
To.
Colonial
well,
is a private company, and we'll defer information regarding their decision on paying a ransom to them.
Would the administration offer any advice on whether or not to pay a ransom?
So typically that is a private sector decision, and the administration has not offered further advice at this time. Given the rise in ransomware, that is one area we're definitely looking at now to say what should be the government's approach to ransomware actors and to ransoms overall.
She's the Deputy National Security Advisor of the United States of America. She's an idiot. The standard policy of the United States of America for decades has been you don't pay ransom because it encourages the criminals to do it again and again and again. Right, for kidnappings, the FBI is, never pay the ransom, just period. You know, internationally, domestically, never pay the ransom. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's dim of wit. She is not quick out of the gates. Quite amazing. Now, there is a guy named Samuel Palmisano. Samuel Palmisano was Barack Obama's cybersecurity. They put together a commission, naturally, on cybersecurity. And Samuel Palmisano was Barack Obama's vice chairman of the cybersecurity commission. Samuel Palmisano was on the television last night, and he put it this way.
Think about if this occurred and a bomb had hit that pipeline, that would be an act of war. It's harder in cyber because it's a digital bomb. But nonetheless, that's to me, that's straightforward.
To me, that's straightforward. It's a bomb. It's the equivalent, he says, of a bomb. This is a national security issue. An Obama guy, no less. And he's telling it like it is, Samuel Palmisano. And he said this is the equivalent of a bomb. It is an attack by a hostile. And if you tie it directly to the Kremlin and Russia and Putin, then you've got a big problem on your hands. But, you know, they don't want that. Now, it's a great story. It was actually on the Sean Hannity program last night. They went to a gas station in Manassas. Was it in Manassas? I think it was in Manassas, Virginia. It's in the suburbs just outside of Washington. And the gas station owner, they're talking to the gas station owner, a nice lady reporter, said to the gas station owner in suburban Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., said, well, and they had lines, and he's about to run out of gas. And they're talking to the owner, and he's standing there. He's got his blue shirt on and stuff, and he's standing there with his gas station with all these cars lined up down the street. And said, you know, are you going to be able to handle the demand? I mean, what's the thing? And, well, listen to the exchange.
How long do you think you have left here?
The way this is going, we'll run out of gas tonight if I stay open all night.
We'll run out of gas if I stay open all night. Wait a minute. That's not the soundbite I was looking for, though. That's definitely not the soundbite I was looking for. Let's go to the man in the truck. The man in the truck says that that's definitely not because he said – as there was a Joe Biden line in there that we didn't get. We'll grab it. There's a truck driver who's waiting in line for his gasoline, and he was asked a question as well.
Who do you blame for all this?
Biden. Sorry.
Sorry, Biden. Sorry. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. And we got this. We'll get the right sound button in just a second, because the gas station owner had a funny line, a great line. And we'll grab that for you. It is, and now we have the border crisis, too. We got the border crisis, Middle Eastern crisis. We got an energy crisis on the East Coast of the United States. We got Russia messing with us. We got Iran messing with us by way of their proxy Hamas in Israel. Inflation is coming, the prices of everything going up, the price of corn, the price of lumber, the price of groceries at the station, the price of gasoline. And gasoline prices going up, of course, makes the price of everything go up. And welcome to, what is it, America Held Hostage? What day are we on, 112 or something? I'll count and get back to you.
The pipe is the best way to go.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. And it continues to be police week. The Democrats murdered four police officers murdered in a 24-hour period, two in California, two in Texas. Nancy Pelosi has not put out a statement on that, interestingly enough. They're not outraged. It's not an insurrection. Four police officers shot and murdered. I'm going to guess that Democrats are behind all four of these shootings. Just guessing. All right, let's go. We have the correct soundbite, and I apologize. Little hiccup there, entirely my fault. Loudoun County, Virginia, the gas station, Loudoun County, Virginia. And here's the owner of the gas station. I don't have his name, sadly, or I'd use his name. But the owner of the gas station, and he's asked a couple of questions about the gas lines there and how he's, you know, doesn't have gas that'll go on forever and ever. Supply and demand and all that. But fortunately, our Secretary of Energy explained that we don't have a supply problem. We just don't have enough gas, something like that. They use the words, but they don't know what they need. Here's the gas station owner being asked by a Fox News reporter what's up with all the gas lines and stuff.
How long do you think you have left here?
The way this is going, we'll run out of gas tonight if I stay open all night.
Any message for President Biden?
He wouldn't understand what I'm talking about.
He wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. But a boom. See, that's the that's the punchline there. That's the he wouldn't understand. The gas station owner, he's a business owner. He's a businessman. He's got employees. He's got bills. He's got a supply chain. He understands the macro and the micro. And any message for President Biden, he wouldn't understand what I'm talking about, was his answer.
He wouldn't understand what I'm talking about.
That is not a joke. I mean, I laugh, but that's actually not a joke. Crazy stuff. In the meantime, the crazy people, here's a headline from The Guardian. One in four cities cannot afford climate crisis protection measures, a new study says. Survey of 800 cities around the world finds almost 43% do not even have a plan to adapt to the impacts of global heating. Now it's global heating. You know, it's been a little chilly around here the last few days. We could use a little global heating around here. Also in the New York Post has the story CNN does not. Disturbing video captures teens attacking, beating, and robbing 80-year-old Asian man. And once again, it's a swing and a miss for CNN because it's two African-American guys beating up this 80-year-old Asian man and robbing him in California. And not MAGA hat pickup truck Trump supporting. That's what they keep looking for. If they could just find one of those, then it'd be a big story for weeks on end. But they keep trying and they keep missing. It's just the Democrats got to be a little frustrated by this. I'm telling you. And there's video, and you see it. It's horrible and it's terrible, and they're awful people. My grandfather, my step-grandfather, was beaten and robbed like that in an alley in Chicago a number of years ago of a similar set of circumstances. But pay no attention to any of that. No kidding. Oh, I didn't get to the police officer in Norfolk, the lieutenant who was fired for supporting Kyle Rittenhouse. I'll have to get back to that.